Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to join or stick with us here this afternoon. And we are waiting on a phone call. We're hoping to be joined with a special guest this afternoon talking about a number of things that are going on here in Ohio and at the federal level that is going to have a direct impact on people of faith. That's going to have a direct impact on your pro-life issues and a lot of Christian freedom in our country and in our state. So we'll be getting to that in just a few moments. But again, wanted to point you to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can listen to past programs and find out more about me, more about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Invite you to come out for our Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have more information on that at the end of the program. And then our services, of course, on Sunday. And we just, like I said, stay tuned. The end of the program, we'll have more of that information. Let's open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. We just pray that you would bless the program, help us to be able to alert your people to the things that are happening in the world around us, Lord, that we can be better prepared to be the salt and the light that you've called us to be. Bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to point people to Christ, and we just thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year to you. I'd say this is our first broadcast of the year, but we were on Sunday night already, so we were on New Year's Day, late New Year's Day, obviously, but if you're not aware, we do have a program that runs from 10 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night. It's a live program. I encourage you to join us for that. If it's too late for you, go to livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to the program there, but we'd love to have you come join us on the program on Sunday nights, and we have more time to deal with questions and things like that, so in the two-hour span that we have there. But in the meanwhile, you're with us here today for Live with Pastor Al, and I am going to be joined by Chris Long, who is the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we're going to be talking about some developments in the Ohio State House, other things happening in the state, and in the U.S. House. If you've been watching the votes there in regards to the Speaker of the House. And these things are important to us as believers. And I believe Chris is with us right now. Chris Long, welcome to the program today.
Good afternoon, Pastor Al. Good to be with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you with us today to give us some insight and some help in understanding things. You talk to some people and they think this is the collapse of civilization as you know it, constitutional crisis and everything else, but and I'm talking about in the U.S. House of Representatives, but I find it kind of refreshing to see the give and take, the back and forth, the discussion that instead of being behind closed doors completely, we're seeing a lot of it out in the open. And I think if I go out on a limb, McCarthy will probably become the Speaker of the House, but I think he's going to be a little more favorable to conservative positions as a result of this. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think this is a very vigorous debate that's going on right now, and I agree with you that it's needed, and actually it's very healthy for the Republic. So, you know, there's two-party system currently in this country. There's mm-hmm. obviously the Democrats, and we have watched the and what is the Democrats today? They're not what the Democrats were 40 years ago.
Right.
Grandpa's Democrats were. Democrats today are literally hard leftists. In fact, some would say, well, what happened to the Blue Dog Democrats? Well, the Blue Dog Democrats were taken out in elections with district redraw maybe 10, 15 years ago. There used to be a Blue Dog Democrat who might be somewhat conservative on certain issues, but with his party on other issues, or with her, you know, she might be with the party on other issues. Those folks are gone. They don't even exist anymore. They're very hard to find. You can't find a pro-life Democrat. It's, I mean, you find one of those, you might want to play the lottery.
That's as scarce as hen's teeth.
By the way, I'm not advocating, but I'm just saying it's so remote, okay?
Yeah.
But so the two-party system, and again, this isn't favoring the Republicans. I've had more fights with Republicans than I have with Democrats. However, you know, there's no reason arguing with the Democrats because they are actually hard leftist. Some would argue even socialist, almost communist party right now. That's what we saw practiced in the last number of years on Capitol Hill. So the Republicans are having a vigorous fight. So before we fight the left, we've got to fight ourselves. You know, this fight has to take place. And what's happening here? Well, these are some principled people fighting against the establishment. What's the establishment? I think what one person said is that a lot of the people you see, somebody like Kevin McCarthy, listen, they're bought and sold. A lot of corporate interest, a lot of lobbyists, a lot of interest there. Not just Kevin McCarthy, but some of his predecessors like Paul Ryan and others have just sold themselves to special interest in Washington. And believe me, you know, you go down to the greater D.C. area and the Virginia, Maryland area, those folks make it a full-time job to represent certain interests, whether it's in industry, whether it's in the corporate world or Wall Street. And, of course, they spend a lot of money around and they influence these people. Unfortunately, that's always been with us. That kind of graft and corruption's always been with us. It takes a good man or woman to go down to Washington, represent their district and their people, almost like what we saw with Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Mm-hmm. And when I was telling my dentist this morning in the chair, it does exist. I have met some of those people, howbeit there are only a few of them that go down in principle. I said there's very few that go down and don't come back any richer or poorer. And I said, those are some of the honest folks. And so I think what you're seeing right now is some people, you may not agree with them on the reason why they're disputing the speakership vote, but you have to respect their willingness to hang together because they're not going to get much from this, quite honestly, personally from it. In fact, they'll probably be disciplined by the speaker if it ends up being Mr. McCarthy. They're doing it for the people back in their district, and they're doing it for us, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some questions with Mr. McCarthy. I don't think I trust him. I've seen him as a politician. In fact, Laura Logan listed the things he voted for. He voted for gay marriage not too long ago. He voted for a whole sundry of liberal things. This is a Republican we're talking about who wants to be Speaker of the House. So I agree with the debate. It needs to happen, and he's basically his feet are to the fire. And if they can come up with some agreements that certain committee hearings will be held and we'll get to the bottom of what happened with the FBI and the Justice Department and some of the corruption in the Biden administration, then I think I'm all for what's going on right now.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And it's like somebody said, you know, there's two things you don't want to watch firsthand, making sausage and watching Congress at work. And so we're kind of seeing that right now, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I agree. My hope, my prayer is that something good will come from this. And I certainly encourage God's people out there to be in prayer for this, because while we don't agree and we have exception to many of the positions that Representative McCarthy has taken, we're hoping that he'll make concessions that'll be favorable to us. Let me read 1 Timothy chapter 2 here.
If I might share a little joke, though. Uh-huh. Louis Gohmert, who's, of course, a Christian, and he said, somebody said something about the politics. He said, well, I learned that because I was a Baptist deacon, so I know about these kinds of debates.
All right. Well, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he says in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. And then that would certainly include our Congress representatives. And then he says this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And, you know, we know that the kings and those that are in authority are not always going to be Christians. They're not always going to share our values, but we still pray for them. Why? that we as believers can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we can be busy doing the work that God's given us to do. And so we need to be in prayer for this. And we could, quite honestly, take a whole program just on the U.S. House, but we've got developments here in Ohio as well that are going to have a direct effect on us as Christians. And we've got it's almost like a coup that took place in the Ohio State House. And what would you like to share about that?
Well, before we get to that, you know, when you're sharing from the scripture, what it reminds me of in the New Testament, when we see Paul, first of all, that the Jews are after him in Jerusalem. And in fact, one of the prophets comes to him and he binds himself and he says, this is what's going to happen to you when you go to Jerusalem. And he's warning him not to go. And Paul says, I have to go. And of course, he was arrested. And at that point, he appeals to Caesar. And if it wasn't for Paul's, what happened with Apostle Paul, we wouldn't really have an understanding about how we are to appeal to government in the New Testament. We have plenty of examples in the Old Testament, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading through Ezra and Nehemiah right now. And of course, when the children of Israel, fulfilling the promise that of Jeremiah, that the children of Israel, after the discipline of the captivity, will come back and rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls. And the processes of appealing to those kings and magistrates in the Old Testament for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and fulfillment of the prophecy of God. In the New Testament, we see Paul appealing to Caesar. He's before King Agrippa. He makes appeal to King Agrippa. He invokes his Roman citizenship. If it wasn't for what had happened with Apostle Paul, there might be a withdrawal from Christians to not participate in civics and in public policy and in government. But because of Paul, we see that we are to be salt and light. We are to be right. involved, and our voices are needed in today. That's exactly what needs to happen.
And I appreciate that insight, because we lose track of that. There are Christians out there who think that we shouldn't be involved in these things. But it's good that you brought that out, because the Apostle Paul very much shows us the importance of knowing our rights and being involved in the political process.
That's exactly right. But our highest role is to sit at the feet of Jesus. There's no doubt about
Amen.
That, Pastor. But to your point, that we are to pray for those in authority, and we are to lend our voice and our counsel to government for good, that we might lead a peaceable life to be able to further the gospel. Well, in Ohio, we've been involved for years. The Ohio Christian Alliance is a public policy organization. We're grassroots. We represent Christian interests before the Ohio State House and in Washington, D.C., and we speak out on public policy. We don't always speak. Sometimes we hold our peace. But there's a time to speak and a time to hold your peace and to pray. And there's times to lend your voice in counsel. Well, this is one of those times. And on our homepage, people need to go there. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance webpage. And you're going to see a statement that we released last night on the election of the speaker, Jason Stevens, that happened on Tuesday of this week. It actually was a very disrupted process in voting for speaker, as the Republican caucus that is the majority, they won 67 seats. Ohioans voted for the majority of Republicans in large member. There's 100 seats in the Ohio House, 67 of them went to the Republicans. Their caucus got together, voted that Derek Marin, who, by the way, is the son of a Baptist preacher, he's a Christian, he's a conservative, he's pro-life, pro-family, he was to be the first conservative speaker in many years. Well, there was a coup that took place, and 22 Republicans joined with 32 Democrats to elect Jason Stevens in a shock and upset to the Republican caucus, and really, quite honestly, a betrayal. These 22 renegade Republicans joined with the Democrats, and for all intents and purposes, you don't have a Republican speaker in the Ohio House. You have a Democratic speaker, and what deals he made with them in secret is not known. But what we do know is that the Democrats wanted favorable districts in the redraw, even though they're the severe minority right now in this state politically. They didn't want any additional pro-life legislation passed. And they didn't want the 60% threshold to pass, which would basically be a firewall against every left-wing policy that they would like to get on the ballot and possibly throw a fast one past the Ohio electorate.
And interrupt there a second. That's the 60% threshold for a constitutional amendment for the Ohio Constitution, correct?
That is correct. So it's a constitutional amendment. So you're changing the Constitution, not just the law, passing a law or in statute. That remains the same at 51% simple majority. But this was raising the bar. If you're going to have a constitutional amendment, change the Ohio Constitution by way of ballot initiative, it would raise it to you have to have 60%, which is basically following federal guidelines in the Constitution. So I'm in agreement with that, quite honestly, and a lot of conservatives are. We have seen in recent years with somebody with a lot of money comes into Ohio and exploits our process of an initiative petition constitutional amendment and tries to get, well, unfortunately, gambling passed in Ohio,
yes,
right, for their own benefit and other kind of goofy things. But when Ohioans understand the issue, like they did with the two ballot issues this fall, they passed by large margins, okay? So it's not beyond the pale. And if we looked at back at 2004 with the marriage amendment, that passed by nearly 62%. Marcy's law passed by 70-some percent. The last two ballot measures passed by some 70-some percent. But if someone's trying to take us back to Roe v. Wade in Ohio, we want to make sure that they're not able to do that in just a simple majority by spending a lot of money here and fooling people as to what they're voting for. And that would wipe out all of our pro-life laws. Anyways, that's what the Democrats want. And it's unknown whether Stevens gave them that, but he gave them something because he got every one of their votes and only 22 Republicans on Tuesday.
Now, you're talking about the pro-life laws, and I was thinking some of the other states that have recently passed some of that. I don't think any of them have passed laws that essentially reviving Roe v. Wade in their states. I don't think any of them have passed it with much more than a 51, 52, 53% vote, have they?
No, and so, you know, in Ohio here, we've made great gains in the pro-life cause over the last 20 years. I've been involved in public policy. We passed a ban on Down syndrome abortion. We passed a ban on abortions at 20 weeks and then a heartbeat legislation. All of that would be wiped out if these people have their way to get on the ballot and pass a simple 51% passage for a constitutional amendment. They could either wipe out the last 20 years of pro-life gains in the state. They may even take us all the way back, Pastor, to Roe v. Wade, and that abortion on demand in the ninth month would be legal in Ohio if they have their way on the ballot. And we don't know what Jason Stevens gave them, but if we don't get that 60% threshold, we will face it in November, whether we're ready or not, and they will have a lot more money than we do on the pro-life side.
So if I'm hearing you correct, Chris Long, even though we elected a supermajority of Republicans in the Ohio State House, the agenda is going to be controlled by the leftist pro-death, the LGBTQ alphabet soup camp. They're going to be in the driver's seat on all of these things, which has implications for educational choice, the critical race theory teaching, protecting women's sports, and the pro-life legislation, all these things. What do you see happening in those areas?
Well, I've talked to representatives, I've talked to coalition leaders and pro-life activists and lobbyists, and they all agree that anything that's meaningful legislation when it comes to pro-life, pro-family legislation is dead with this speaker. For all intents and purposes, the Ohio House that is controlled by 67 Republicans is now ruled by a Democrat speaker after this unprecedented betrayal by the 22 Republicans that joined 32 Democrats to elect this guy, of which, by the way, nobody knows much about him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is not what Ohioans voted for this last election.
No.
They didn't vote to capitulate to the political left. These are some of the things worth fighting for, quite honestly, and now it appears that the fight is underway. Who will govern Ohio, the political left by a proxy of a compromised speaker or the Republican majority that was elected in November? So, there's a fight that's on right now. In fact, they had to suspend their Republican caucus retreat because there's no agreement with the speaker, and they don't have any committee chairs. They have no committee assignments because the majority is shocked by what happened in betrayal this week in the Ohio State House. And so it's no small thing. I've been doing this, Pastor, as you know, for 25 years now, And I've never seen anything like this.
This is just unbelievable when you look at it. And again, all the more reasons why I opened the program today with 2 Timothy there. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. I think I said 2 Timothy earlier. 1 Timothy chapter 2, talking about praying for those in authority, because we need to pray. Is there an opportunity or a possibility that there could be like a way of removing Stevens and maybe a vote of no confidence by the Republicans at some point? Or is there anything can be done, or are we stuck with him for the next 2 years?
Well, no, there are some things that can be done. For instance, as I understand it, the Ohio Republican Party is having their chairman vote today. And one of
yes.
the candidates proposed a censorship of those 22 Republicans that basically betrayed the rest, the majority. And he's calling that none of them received money from the ORP, the Ohio Republican Party, for their campaigns, that they won't have any communication or any favored status. That's kind of a rebuke from the Ohio Republican Party to go against its party. I agree with that, quite honestly. There has mm-hmm. to be response to this. But so let's talk about what would be a vote of no confidence. They just need 50 votes for a vote of no confidence to remove the speaker. And by the way, any legislation that's conservative to get on the floor in the House will now need 50 votes for what's called a discharge petition. That means you don't have to have the speaker and say, may I please? A discharge petition is constitutional, and you don't need the speaker's right of privilege. It's basically a rebuke to the speaker, and it takes it right to the floor for an up or down vote. And so the parliamentarian procedure allows for that vote, but you need 50. So they're going to hang together. And I believe that mounting opposition to what just happened in this betrayal is going to grow. We understand the coalitions across the state. These representatives of the 43 that were with Derek Maron, there was actually 45, two were missing, five departed from him. And in fact, we just learned that his father died and he had a funeral in the last week. And that's why he wasn't talking to some of the members, because his father, who is a Baptist preacher, Derek was attending and arranging the funeral for his father that he loved so much. And so you can understand, this is terrible. This is really despicable, Pastor. It really is.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's why as Christians and as a Christian voice, the Ohio Christian Alliance is not going to remain silent. We'll be silent no more. That's why we put this out. And, you know, let it be known, you know, let the truth be known. And so it's kind of a rebuke of what's going on down there. We don't do it very often, but this was the time to do it.
Well, I appreciate the stand that you're taking there, Chris, and the Ohio Christian Alliance, and I've read your statement. I think it's very well-reasoned and well-written. I encourage people to check that out. Your website, again, is?
OhioCA.org, or just search Ohio Christian Alliance and go right to the top of our webpage, and you'll see it says statement on the election of the Speaker of the Ohio House. We'll also have a list of the 22 representatives that unfortunately voted with the Democrats to elect this speaker.
And of course, you had mentioned, too, and we've just got a few minutes to go, the Ohio Republican Party is voting today as to who their chair will be, the state chair. And you had mentioned that one of the candidates, of course, Brian Williams, who's currently chair of the Summit County, where I'm at, Summit County Republican Party, has his hat in the ring, and he's the guy that has said that he wants to censor these Republicans that voted for Stevens. What do you think might be happening there? Just a real quick thought there, because we only just got a minute or so left.
It's a vigorous fight there, too. So there's no news coming out yet. So they're still voting. So we don't know yet.
All right. Well, that's an area where God's people need to pray, don't they? That the right man will get, or woman will get into that position. They have an opportunity to make a real difference. Chris Long, Ohio Christian Alliance, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. Encourage people to check you out at ohioca.org. Got 20 seconds. Final thought real quick.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for being on today, and just ask people to do as you're saying, to pray intently for those who serve us in public office.
Well, thank you, Chris. And again, get out there, pray, be informed, but don't give up. God's still on the throne. God bless. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.